The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Sitting on a bar stool, kind of short and kind of square, through the foam in his mustache, his voice filled the air. Talking about a state of mind, son. Talking about the state of Jefferson. It's a wave on a dusty road. It's a logger's heavy load. It's a cattle on the hill. It's a range full of thrills. It's a way of life. Settles in your soul.
Settles in your soul.
It really does.
It does.
Wow, that was
There's
good.
There's harmony.
Sorry. Yeah, I had to stop so fast. That
no,
was really
good.
Good,
man.
Yeah.
It's just harmony.
Wow, yeah.
That's it. We're harmonious.
We are.
This is a new program. I'm Mr. Mellow. Very mellow. Do you have mellow music?
Mellow music.
Mellow music.
Do we have any callers? Any callers? No callers.
Oh, maybe.
No callers. Oh, my gosh.
Maybe this is common music.
You're scaring the listeners.
Am I?
Good morning.
Did we sound like Alex there for a minute?
Yeah. Bad
Sorry.
Impression of,
Had to play
of
that
another
game.
Radio program. Anyway, yes, this is Terry Raposa and Wynn Carpenter and Travis the Hat Man.
Yay. Good morning, everyone.
And Frankie.
And
the Sergeant
Frankie
of
Rose.
Arms.
Frankie Rose.
He says hey.
He says hey.
Sergeant at Arms.
Yes,
Frankie
ma'am.
Rose, one of our treasures. Total treasure.
Amen.
A lot of fun. Upset about the Cleveland Indians, aren't you, Frankie?
Yeah.
What are they, the Cleveland Rosebuds now or something? What are they?
Who knows?
Yeah, that's a good
Kisses.
Yeah.
I heard that they were named in honor of the first American
Native
Indian
American.
That actually played ball. I saw his baseball card.
Yeah.
And now they want to change the name.
Yeah. Frankie made a good point about Ohio, because Ohio is, you know, is a reference to Indians.
But isn't Oklahoma?
Oh. What about Mississippi?
Yeah,
we're going to have to change those states. How about
when is it going to flip and stop?
Unbelievable. Anyway, we're broadcasting live on KCNR 96.5 for the FM where the music sounds better.
When it works.
When it works. 1460 AM, your talk radio, which reaches round Reading. And we are broadcasting worldwide. We are podcasting, worldwide. KCNR1460.com, and our programs are archived, which we want to definitely maybe. We're going to play a few archives here in the next coming weeks because we've got some good stuff we'd like to go back to.
And you can listen at KCNR1460.com and go to the archives there and check it out.
Yes, you can.
And you can go back as far as, oh, I don't know, 6 or 7 years.
What are you, Mr. Repeat this morning?
Yep. What? Nope.
We got a laugh out of Frankie and Travis. I know you're laughing out there on Radio Land. Yes, because Wynn had a good day yesterday. He was floating in the water till he got pruny.
Yeah, we were out on Whiskey Town Lake. It was awesome. It was smoky all around, but you couldn't smell it. Not that we have COVID or anything, but you couldn't smell the smoke. Everybody out there said the same thing, and it was beautiful, and it was like it was overcast, but it was warm, and the water was perfect. And the kids loved being pulled around on the tubes and stuff. It was awesome. Good day.
Did you get pulled around on the tube?
No, I don't do that.
How come?
Because when I fall off now, it hurts. For days.
How could it hurt in the water?
For you've never... Oh, well, come on out. We'll show you how to...
In the water?
We'll show you how to get pulled off and see how it hurts. You got to trust the captain of the ship. And
who was driving when you were...
Grandpa Dave. And I love him to death, but I don't trust him.
So Grandpa Dave would kind of whip it around, and you'd be flying through the air.
Yeah, he'd like to test the waters and see how I would do. But yeah, no.
Oh,
all
I
right.
see. Yeah.
Yeah, he forewarned me before we even started. Like, yeah, no, I'm good.
We're trying to be lighthearted because if you didn't hear Nick's program this morning, Poke the Hornet's Nest, you need to listen to that, especially the first 15 minutes. Very, very good. I mean, it's all good. Everything he did on this program this morning was well done. As it always is, but this morning was very good. But the first part he talked about a fellow named Doug Gregg. I guess Carl has a program once a month with this guy, I'm trying to figure out what sense that makes. Apparently, he was with the Record Searchlight for a while, but they sort of...
Didn't they die?
Yeah.
The Record Searchlight, I mean.
Yeah. I mean, you know, and then, so the guy said that science is literature. So anything that's written, apparently, is science. And, you know, they talked about critical race theory. And, you know, I mean, there's two sides to every story. I mean, I've heard that said 100 times. On the radio programs during the week. There's two sides to every story. Well, there is. I mean, Hitler had his side, and the millions of Jews he killed had theirs. You know, Moses had his side, and, you know, Pharaoh had his. Stalin had his side, and then all the people he murdered, they had theirs. But, you know, there is such a thing as right and wrong. Yeah, there is two sides to every story, but what a broad statement. And then I can't imagine what good... talking about critical race theory by two people who really, you know, this Mr. Gregg's own admission was, gee whiz, you know, I'm not an expert on this. Well, then, you know, why are you talking about it? I mean, oh, because we want to share and show we can have some, you know, we can have dialogue with each other that are, you know, because you're from one side and I'm from another. Well, I have dialogue with people like that all the time. But, I mean, you know, why bring up something that's controversial that you don't know anything about? And then come up with remarks like that. Science is literature? I mean, come on, you know, it's getting to the point. Now, the next thing you know, we're going to have astrology people on.
Too late.
Oh, you're nodding your head. We already do?
I'm just laughing.
Oh.
You're doing great today. I love it.
But, I mean, you think about this stuff. I mean, you know, what in the heck? What are we doing? What are we doing in our country? How are we letting these people get away with that? I was at the gas station this morning, gassing up before I got here. There's a video playing on the little players they have now at these gas stations showing Latino kids. And being half Spanish, I relate to that. I'm looking at it. I'd relate to it anyway. But I'm looking at it, and they're all smiling. I can tell they're smiling because their eyes are squinting, and they're kind of moving like they're happy because they just got their vaxes. They just got shots. They just got shot. I mean, are you kidding me?
What child ever is smiling and happy after getting a shot?
You know, we need to form the Coalition of Liberty. The Coalition of Liberty. Liberty Coalition. Constitutionally protected Coalition of Liberty.
Okay.
So I don't know what the acronym is, but, you know, we've got to get working with all these groups. I mean, everybody from the local militias to the folks who go to the school boards. In fact, in Georgia, I was talking to Jenny Beth Martin, who's the president of the Tea Party Patriots. They had 1,100 people to go to one school board meeting, 1,100 people standing up for their kids. And I know Travis is a great dad, and I know that his role as a father is extremely important, and that's the way it should be. And I know that for him, he stands. He stands there to protect his kids, don't you, brother?
I do, every day.
You know, and I mean, seriously, folks, are you kidding me? How is any of this okay? How is it okay that a flyer goes out to a bunch of people in Modi's district, and they're talking about how people are being prosecuted for crimes? Well, first of all, that's a lie. You're not prosecuted for anything until you're being basically, till you're in court. So when it came out, it wasn't the truth. But here's the main thing. Who did the grand jury declare guilty of misfeasance? That was Modi. He's the only one so far out of all these people that has been proven guilty. And he's the one who sends out the flyer. How insane is this stuff, folks? Think about it. How insane is this, and how long do you let it go on? And I don't care if you're liberal, conservative, you know, what your ethnicity is. I don't care what it is. Aren't you just freaking pissed already? I can say effing, can I?
Yes, you can.
Oh, good, because I just did it. Why aren't you effing pissed?
You said freaking is what you said.
I mean, are you kidding? Oh, I know. I'm just tired of, I mean, how can you not be tired of this, folks? How can you not see through this? Go to the Board of Supervisors, and the people that go in there are not saying, gee whiz, we really like it that you guys, the three of you lawyered up. We love it that you hired Eric McGreeny, who drove Mr. Modi back. and helped him with his misfeasance.
Whether he was hired or not, they're doing it wrong. It's unconstitutional. We need to be able to elect our sheriff no matter who runs.
Well, here's the deal. The deal is that John Green got 48% of the vote when he ran against Pasinko. He wasn't even considered this time because Mary Rickard said no one stepped forward.
Looking back, are you sure that's all they got?
I know where you're going, Mr. I got in the water and was pruny. I know. I know exactly where you're going with that. But anyway, what about John Green? Was he interviewed? No. I mean, I'm not saying that Chief Johnson's a bad police chief. He's a good police chief. I'm not saying that at all. You know, I personally like him. I you know, but the thing is that basically these people get appointed. How come the Board of Supervisors already appointed one guy who can't even get through the term and now is under scrutiny? And what do? The guy gets a vote of no confidence. So what do? They hire him and create a position that in salary alone is $175,000 a year, an increase of 31% for him in a brand new position that you all pay for, anybody that pays any taxes. You all pay for. Everybody pays for that. Brand new position. Why do we need it? Oh, why do we need it? Can anybody let me know why we need it? I mean, you know, it's just like, you know, at least Pontes didn't have to steal it. I mean, that would be something you'd have on your record if you stole something, and he wouldn't do that. So he didn't go in and steal that position away from somebody and give it to Magrini.
That would be criminal.
It would be criminal, for the record, wouldn't it?
Yes, it would.
So why in the world would you just create that job? And it was created last November, but that doesn't bother anybody.
But they had somebody else in
maybe
that position.
Maybe they'll be an astrologer on, I don't know.
Didn't they had somebody else in that position that they duly created that was there temporarily. They knew that because they were going out on a maternity leave. So what the hell's going on over there? It's like the inmates are running the asylum.
They're doing whatever they want. And then who's paying for the commercials? Who's paying for the lawyer for those three? For Comenti and for Modi and for Rickard? You know, here's the question you got to ask. No matter, and this is a broad question that you can ask for all the local people that are being recalled in California, which is a record, by the way.
Yeah.
As of a couple of months ago, it was 69.
And we have 3.
Oh, my gosh. And, in fact...
So far.
Yeah, the person who writes for a national magazine today mentioned it. So I guess we're getting the word out, Red, White, and Blueprint.
Yep.
I guess we're getting the word out, aren't we? You know, I'm telling you, this is just... Is anybody else tired of this? Is anybody else tired of this? If you are, 530-605-4567, 605-4567, 530 area code.
Just as I finished
that, the phone rang. But, you know, it just gets to be very tiring, you know, when you see all this corruption and nobody really wants to do anything about it. It's just amazing to me. This is, it's Patrick Jones. Fantastic. Patrick, what say you, sir?
Hello, guys.
Hey, how's it going?
Very good. How are you guys this morning?
Doing well.
Doing well.
Well, I thought I would call, and it's been a pretty exciting week this week. You know, earlier this week on Tuesday, the Shasta County Board of Supervisors once again appointed another sheriff. And I'd ask the question, was it something legally that we had to do? We have an election coming up for that same position in less than a year, and legally we did not. And so, as you know, the problems started 18 months ago when they appointed Eric Magrini, and a whole series of problems occurred within the department. And then this week, here we go again, and we appoint again a sheriff. Now, that passed 4-1. I simply wanted the undersheriff to... continue to carry out the roles of the sheriff, which he is capable of doing, and allow the process, allow the voters to vet the next sheriff and do it correctly. And the timing is actually perfect to have an election, because it takes about a year, and it's a little bit less than a year before that election comes up, but yet the board decided not to. And the problem with appointing, as we just found out, is that now no matter how good of a person that is that you appointed, they become beholden to the majority of the board, and that's exactly what we just had. And instead of being accountable to the people, they're accountable to the board, and then we get into a whole series of problems. And it's nothing against Michael Johnson. He's a very good chief in Anderson. He has a very good reputation. But when you get appointed by this board, bad things just seem to follow.
Well, hey, Patrick, along those lines, two things. Why could we not put the sheriff's election on the governor's ballot that's going to be coming up here in September? There's plenty of time. How long do you have to really vet somebody that wants to throw their hat in the ring? All they have to do is fill out the paperwork, like you've done a million times as far as running for a race. They fill out the paperwork, submit their names, get it on there. It's done through the elections office, which apparently can do things overnight if they actually choose to here in Shasta County. And then they can have all the candidates that want to be on there listed on the ballot. Can that not be, that not be done for September? We're 2 months away.
Yeah, and I'm not sure, and I don't think it's enough time, and I'm not sure that that is legal, but clearly we're less than a year out.
I get that, but what I'm saying is instead of doing an appointment, either way, they have two options there that they didn't have to.
Yeah, and I just don't know if the latter is legal.
Ruben Cruz said it wasn't.
Yeah, I don't trust
that. Yeah, Ruben Cruz came out in the Record Searchlight and said that it wasn't legal to do it that way. I mean, we'd all love it, but he said it wasn't legal. So I don't remember the reasoning for it, but he said we couldn't do it. It wasn't legal.
Interesting.
And I'm not sure if that's 100% sure.
No,
believing what Mr. Cruz
that's
says.
Right.
But we do need a little bit of time to vet your next sheriff. I have questions that I certainly want answers to. You know, and that's the whole idea of being able to have a little bit of time, having 6-8 months to be able to vet the sheriff and ask questions and allow him to respond and hold that person accountable. And that's where you get a quality sheriff, is when the public has the opportunity to vet him. And that's what's missing here. And the timing is actually just right. It takes about a year to do. Unfortunately, they appointed, and I'm not even sure, you know, if the appointment process that they used is they didn't interview any other applicants. They just simply picked one particular person, which again, and in addition to that, gave them a substantial raise over even what was being offered.
Right.
It isn't right. And it's likely that we'll be right back into the same problem that we just had.
Well, we have a couple things.
Sheriff that was appointed, had votes of no confidence, and those issues that were there weren't being able to be resolved within the department. Up to this point, no one's asked the department much at all, and that's very disappointing. And then this Thursday, we had a special meeting on marijuana, and once again, a failure for this board to act. They got rid of the eradication team, I think back in 2016. Obviously, we started having a large increase in marijuana illegal grows throughout the county, and this board just shows its lack of leadership with that. And at least this week we got the process started again, and we can start addressing it before it becomes completely out of control like Siskiyou County, and it doesn't take a very long time before these illegal roads to explode. We certainly have a problem here in Shasta County.
Right.
But the board blames the sheriff, and the reality is it's their failed leadership. These people have had easily the last four and a half years to reinstate the program and fund it. We have the money. It's clear that we do have the money. They just chose not to do it. And only we had the good fortune of the public coming forward to the boardroom and complaining week after week after week, sho- showing photographs, aerial photographs of these illegal grows week after week, month after month, for over a year to finally get this board's attention to reinstate the eradication team. And unfortunately, they'll drag their feet for another few more months, so the growth cycle will probably be missed for this season, but hopefully it won't for next season. And it's just another reason why I think people, you know, when you go to these board meetings, and I know you guys have, I think it's just more reasons why this recall is so strong and moving forward, is just failed leadership. These guys just cannot act. They're not listening to the public. They are being told what to do by staff. To my knowledge, the majority of this board, at least the three members that are being recalled, have not voted no on any staff item in the last 7 months, which is how long I've been there. Not one single item can you find. And I guess if you look really hard, you might find one or two out of 1,000, maybe. And it just shows that we're rubber stamping, you know, no leadership from the board, rubber stamping over and over. And at this point, if you're going to do that, why have an elected board if no one's going to stand up for the county, for their districts, and for members of our community?
Well, that's a good point, you know, and the basically this was a done deal, the way I understand it and from what I read, with Chief Johnson a month ago. And they filtered in the raise for him. So this wasn't a new thing. I mean, it wasn't shocking that they were asking him. And of course, as we all know, once you're appointed, you become the incumbent. And, you know, he has enough, I think he has enough, creds in his reputation, et cetera, to win in a very short period of time that he'll be on the job, to win the next election, which means that maybe he could retire early and maybe they could appoint another guy and we could be playing this game forever. I don't think there's another county in California that is on their second appointment, in one term. I don't think that there is. And the other thing I wanted to bring up was you're absolutely right about the illegal grows. I mean, you nailed it, but these guys, there has to be, how is it that they all know they're going to get Johnson? How does he get the raise? How does Magrini get his job picked out for him last November? And gee whiz, it seems like only three supervisors know about that. I mean, maybe you can shed some light on that. It's just, it's the height of corruption.
Well maybe I can't. unfortunately, I only know what I get, and you know, and I get,
yes,
about what the public gets is a staff report that comes out late on Thursday. And then I start reading, and I've had, you know, talks with our CEO about having well-informed council members, board members, and, you know, that's important. And I think certain members are being informed and others are not. And again, I only know what I know, and it's a little disheartening to say the least. But, you know, in time, we'll get to all these problems. I think the public is paying attention today more than we've ever seen before, or at least in short history. People are coming forward to the boardrooms. They're paying attention, doing some research. You know, since we're still in a small town, things get out there. It's very common for me to receive information a day or two before I get it from the county. I get it in advance from the members of the public before I get it from my own staff. And that's how small of a town and county that we live in. And you know, and that's unfortunate. But things that happen in this county, we're ultimately going to hear about them. And now the question is, what are we going to do about it? When we see corruption, do you tolerate it or not? And just like with Supervisor Modi, and using his power to be able to go behind fire lines.
Yeah. Can you stay with us, Patrick, for a little while longer? We have to go to week. This is our one and only computer break, and it's going to hit here in about 10
sure,
seconds.
I'll hang around for the other side.
Fantastic. Thank you. Well, my good friend, you know, we need to get this state changed. We have to incorporate smaller government, and we have to have apportionment to where the people we elect can do their job.
And be held accountable.
Yep. State of Jefferson seems like an answer for part of this state, that's for sure.
Amen.
So time has probably come.
For 51.
We really need to get that done.
Yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
Hey, Northern California, this is Nigel Steep. Join me and my friends every Saturday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. with the California Adventure District Radio Show, where we talk about all the amazing adventures to be had in our area, from climbing Mount Shasta, hiking the trails, kayaking, overlanding, and camping with Bigfoot. We have it all. California Adventure District. Less people, more adventure. Listen Saturday mornings from 8 to 9 a.m. See you then.
This is RC from Tobacco and Brew with this month's Cigar of the Humidor. Today we're sharing Perez Carrillo Trilogy. This gift set is the pinnacle of years tirelessly dedicated to the perfection of cigars. Rating 95, 96, and 98 by Cigar Aficionado, these three cigars have put Ernesto Perez Carrillo at the top of the industry. Come down to the best cigar shop around, Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
It's the best. I mean, the best part about this is to watch the Hat Man's moves.
Oh, yeah.
Did you ever see the movie Hitch?
I did.
Okay.
And I don't dance that bad. I actually dance like the Will Smith character does. Really?
No,
good.
You've got rhythm.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Hey, I wanted to bring up one thing before we get back to Patrick Jones, and then Wynn has a couple questions for you, a couple things that he wants to talk to you about, Patrick. But before we go there, Frank Rose is a treasure. He is a treasure. He's a veteran. He is someone who put his life on the line for our country. There's no one that does more for veterans than Frankie Rose. Well, Frankie Rose has a message for Eric Magrini. This is from Frank Rose. He wants to know if Eric Magrini's name is Eric Magrini or Eric McGreedy. Eric be greedy. And that is from Frank Rowe. So probably, Frank, you're going to probably have a flyer come out about you, or maybe they'll come and, you know, chain your ankles and take you off to jail. Expect a call from Stephanie Bridget.
Or duct tape your screen door
closed. Or duct tape your screen door shut. You know, Frankie Rose.
Thank you, Frank.
A hero. Wynn's got a couple questions here, brother.
Hey, K. Patrick, you were talking about the appointment of, you know, say the sheriff or pretty much any elected official that the Board of Supervisors would be able to, you know, do at their discretion. So we're having three of them decide to do that, or four of them on the vote for the sheriff?
That was 4-1.
4-1, okay. So we have four individuals of the county versus the 180 that live here.
180,000.
180,000, yes. But not the 100, there is not 180,000 voters, but say 120,000 voters that have the right to vote for that. So we have four versus 120,000. So what the hell are they thinking? I mean, I know what they're thinking. It's about control. It's about them being the top dog, about them being the kings or queen of Shasta County. And that's all they're that's all they're looking to do. They want to be the ones in ultimate control and do what they want to do and how they want to do it, versus working with the public and representing the public and having an election. Is it going to cost some money? Maybe it does cost some money, but do you know what it does? It pays forward the legitimacy of that candidate's winning of the election, whoever the candidate may be. And then all that drama from the past two sheriffs would go away. All that drama should go away, because that duly elected sheriff would not be carrying any of that burden. Now, the next sheriff that they appoint is going to be carrying a lot of that crap along with them. And it's not fair to them. By any means, it's not fair to them. And it's going to inhibit what they do to a point. And, like Terry was saying earlier, that sheriff is going to be perceived as beholden to those four board members. So what in the world are they trying to do? Just trying to control the sheriff so they can control the public. And that's all they're doing. That is that what you look at as well?
Yeah, I mean, typically, I mean, it is something that does happen throughout California, is appointments of sheriffs. When you're a couple, two or three years out, then it's likely that an appointment would occur and the board would do that. But here, we're less than a year out, and so an election process could happen where the vetting of that sheriff could occur. So we're in a very short time frame now before an election would happen. And even more critical than that, after all the problems of the last one and the votes of no confidence, you would really think you would be hungry to get to an election to allow the public to be able to vet this particular individual. And so, to me, it's just a slap in the face to all voters. We had an opportunity to allow the election cycle to play out and to allow people to come forward, run elections, get your campaign, up and running, and have debates where the public can ask questions, and then we hold you, the next sheriff, accountable to those. And it's really important that we were able to do that, and now, once again, we have missed that opportunity. And so it's just really unfortunate. And then with regards to Eric Magrini, obviously, he wasn't well suited for the position. He was appointed. So the board already does not know how to appoint a sheriff. They've already shown that they don't have the skills necessary to do that, so here they did it again. They picked a guy that said he was well qualified for the job, and in fact, it did not suit him. So that already casts a shadow now on this particular appointee, because this board is incapable of doing that type of work, clearly. Eric is a nice guy, and I like him. He's served the county for a long time. But if you want to be sheriff, you really need to run an election, and you have to want to earn it. And we're missing that process here. Eric got a vote of no confidence, not only from rank and file, but the admin. And as soon as I heard about that, I knew that a resignation would follow. You're not going to survive that. What I was unaware of, that the CEO had already had plans on moving him over into the number two position at the county. That I was totally unaware of and came as a shock. And once again, that too represents a serious problem. When you had a person that had a vote, two votes of no confidence, and now you're going to put him in the number two position at the county, you already demonstrated he doesn't have the management skills to make it work in the sheriff's department, but he will over in the number two position at the county? No. It doesn't seem right. It doesn't look right. It doesn't smell right. It's not right. The public can see it. It's obvious that favors are being returned here. And again, for a sizable pay raise. So, you know, clearly we have problems here in Shasta County, and, you know, I think in time, you know, they're all going to get worked out. But the public is watching. The public is paying attention. They see these things happening. They're not stupid. They can see exactly what's happening.
Yeah. Before we get off, before we get off that subject, I mean, you made some great points. But Green, when he ran against Basenko, got 48% of the vote, but he got the backing of the SSA and the Deputies Association. He got the backing of the very people. Mm-hmm. That had a vote of no confidence from a Greenie, and that all that backing came to Green, and plus he got 48% of the vote, and no one talked to the guy about this. I mean, it's.
Well, I did.
You did, my friend. But you know when it's sort of like the corruption is just so beyond the pale. Even the guest that Nick Gardner had has heard of what we've done. Thank you, Red, White, and Blueprint. I mean, this guy writes for a national magazine, and he's heard of what we're doing here. I mean, if you're those people, you can be as arrogant as you want, but we're coming to get you out of office, out of
right.
here.
Well, clearly, they're going to appoint who they want. I had a similar situation when I ran for city council. I came in third. I needed to come in second, and then not too much longer after that, Mark Sabila moved over to the county, and they had an opening, and I was doing, you know, I was going to all the meetings, and I had ran, and so it was logical that I would be appointed. I was not. And they appoint who they want to appoint, and they appoint somebody that's like-minded. Instead of what the public wants, they appoint somebody that's like-minded, and that's what we're seeing play out here in Shasta County right now. But I don't think it's going to be tolerated too much longer. I think over the course of the next, you know, months to a year, I think you'll see the public come forward, whether it's elections or whether it's, you know, special elections. I think the public is going to respond to some of these things about what's happening. And I've got to scoot here, guys. I appreciate being on. I know you guys are working hard. I appreciate it.
Well, hey, Patrick, before you go, you mentioned earlier about the marijuana issue and talking about 4 or 5 years of delay of, you know, getting out there to do eradication. I was an appraiser for Shasta County, a rural property appraiser for Shasta County for 9 years, and I worked in all of District 3. I worked out there, Big Bend, Round Mountain, Oak Run, Whitmore, you name it, all the areas that have marijuana. And before I would go out into the field, I had to do aerial shots to see how much marijuana was out there and what kind of structures or RVs or vehicles and so forth as updated as we could get them. So I knew what I was going into by myself, unarmed. So I would go out there, even though I had a CCW, the county has an MOU that staff members cannot carry weapons with them. So I would go out there in the field, in the old Jeep, bouncing around out there in those woods, looking for these properties to do the appraisals that we have to do when they do change of ownerships or what have you. And I would go out there, and I ran across those folks a lot, and I've had, I don't know how many times, guns pointed at me, and people telling me to get the hell out of there in English and in other languages that I did not speak. So I know what some of those people are going out there dealing with. The sheriff's department goes out there fully armed, and there are multiple of them. But the appraisers would go out there unarmed by themselves. Wow. In an old Jeep. And, you know, I'm bouncing around there like I had good sense. No, I wasn't. I was not happy having to do that, but that was a necessary part of my job. And sometimes they would, the office would say, we'll take somebody with you. Okay, yeah, great. Let's have two victims out there. Yeah, that's really going to work. So,
When we've known of this problem, you've known of it, and, you know, it's been growing for many years. And when they got rid of the eradication team, they're basically saying, we're basically treating this as legal activity, which
right.
is not.
Right.
And, you know, and this, and the majority of this board was there. I mean, these guys have, you know, all been there. You know, Joe's been there 2.5 years. Mary's been there 4.5 years. Les, 15. Modi, 12. These guys just took no action on this. They let that happen. And now they're saying, geez, I didn't know the gravity of the problem. And that's baloney. They've been getting emails. I know Mary has been getting a ton of emails for years and taking no action. She talks about stuff, no action. And I think you saw that play out in the boardroom. We had to kick and scream and finally drag all these board members along to get them to finally move forward and reinstate the eradication team. And they even mentioned it. We talk about it all the time. We talk about it all the time. But you don't take any action. It's pretty easy to make a motion. They're
why don't they do a site visit? Do the hard work. Go out there and do a site visit.
Well, didn't Pontes take a helicopter?
Yeah, right. That can be shot down in a heartbeat. Why don't they do a site visit and actually see what's out there, see all the debris, the all the fertilizer and chemical stuff that's just strewn all over the place, and some of it's in waterways. I saw it in waterways a lot.
Problem. They know about this problem. They've known about it. They don't need to see any more photographs. They've seen 1,000. They know about these problems existing. They knew about them before when they had the eradication. They knew about them, and they knew when you got rid of that team what's going to happen. And it's exactly what happened in Siskiyou County. It starts to explode
yep.
to a point where you can't hardly deal with it. And they're treating it as if this activity is legal, and that's what's happening.
Well, it's a,
and
it's
finally
a little,
the public has come forward.
It's a little safer to see it via photograph versus walking out. Or not even, you don't even have to get out of your rig. Just driving by. Yeah, that tells you a lot. You can smell, you can see, you can understand what's really going on out there. A photograph doesn't always do it justice. And believe me, I know I've been there, done that. I took I don't know how many photographs of those kinds of places, and that's all part of the record of the property records that are in the data bank at the assessor's office. Just
yeah,
saying.
I mean, they've had enough. I guarantee you, Lynn, they've had enough information for many, many years, the severity of the problem. True, but when you see it up firsthand, you see all the trash, the human waste, the garbage. You see it a little bit better, but they've clearly known far more than enough to take action, and it's just a failed leadership by the majority of the board.
Absolutely.
All right, guys. All right. I appreciate you having me on. Keep up the good work. Tell Mr. Rose we appreciate him.
Will do. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Bye,
thank
Patrick.
You, brother.
Now, just on the other thing, too, is that we had a caller ask about when did the Board of Supervisors or the boards get the authority to be able to appoint, say, the sheriff or other positions. They got that back in 2018. It was voted in by our state legislature. So it's all part of the design to take control so that the people do not have control. If you can't control the election for your sheriff, I mean, the person who's supposed to help and keep your community, you know, I don't want to say safe because they can't keep it safe, but, you know, keep things going the way they're supposed to be going. But just a duly elected sheriff, and we can't do that? What a hot flipping mess. But
yeah.
That happened back in 2018.
Yeah. We have a caller on the line. David, what say you?
Yeah, morning. I was interested in, with this heat wave right now, we've got a do something to cool down the topsoil. We're going to lose a whole lot of the environment.
Hey, David, how's San Francisco doing?
Oh, it's not bad.
Good.
But we kind of
want to stay on subject here, so I want to thank you for calling.
Go ahead.
Yeah, anyway, because we have some other callers that want to... Anyway, that must have been exciting times for you Man, oh man, having to go out there. And now you weren't allowed to, you have a CCW, you weren't allowed to take that.
No, was not allowed to carry it. Oh, and what they wanted us to carry was, you know, the large spray cans of wasp spray, you know, BN wasp spray. They wanted us to carry those so we could, you know, fend off any dogs. Well, I'm not worried about the dogs. I could probably survive taking a dog down of some sort if a dog came after me. I could probably fight my own battle with that. I'm concerned with the bullets that would be coming my direction. Mm. And no wasp spray can is ever going to be able to defend you against a bullet. Mm. And that was always the argument. And I'd look at the people that would tell me that, like, are you that damn dumb? But the thing is, they were. That's the thing. They were. And one of them used to be an appraiser that went out in the field at the time and even complained about it prior to that. And then he flipped to the other side when he became management. And, you know, that's how it worked. They just get dumber the higher they go up.
We have a caller on the line. Ron, how are you, sir? What say you?
Hey, I'm doing pretty good. Thank you for your show. I'm kind of agreeing with Patrick Jones. I want to be able to vote for my sheriff. I don't want somebody appointing him for a lot of the reasons he just mentioned. And another thing, I want a constitutional sheriff. I want to be able to ask them questions. Do they know about the Constitution? I want them to explain that to me. The district attorney refuses. But anyway, that's another story. But I want a constitutional sheriff. I'm like the young lady you have on your show sometimes. Name is Janet. And I want a sheriff. I got a DVD. His name is Richard Mack. He was on.
Right.
I guess he was here like 10 or 12 years ago. I was working out of town, so I didn't get a chance to listen to him.
Mm-hmm.
But I've got his DVD, and I like what he has to say.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the type of sheriff that I would like to have. I want somebody that understands the Constitution. So anyhow, that's what I got to say, and I'll let you guys so I don't take up any more of your valuable time.
You're awesome, brother. Anyway, we've had Sheriff Mack on. We've done a couple of events with him. We know him well. We know him personally. You know, a lot of people hear the term constitutional sheriff. There is no such thing as anything written down as a constitutional sheriff. There are sheriffs who follow the Constitution. And I want to say this about John Green. One of the things I really respected to him, and I'm going to bring Janet into this thing here, too, because Ron had mentioned Janet Chandler.
Okay.
We had a Q&A that was great. You know, we had this really good Q&A that was going on at a meeting we had with the different people who were running for sheriff at the time. This is when Green was running against Masenko. And Janet asked Green, you know, have you read the Constitution of the United States, and can you tell me how many articles there are? Well, he kind of hemmed and hawed, and then he said, well, you know, there's 17. Of course, we all know there's not 17. And he was in there with probably 200 people that really knew the Constitution, so it was kind of a difficult point for him. But you know what? Rather than being arrogant, rather than shying away, he went back. He read the Constitution. He studied it. And the next meeting we had, he was there holding his Constitution. He said, I didn't read it, but I've read it now. And that Constitution was a pocket Constitution, and it had butt sweat. So he was using it.
Well, that's good, because this is what I want. I want somebody that will agree to the Constitution
of
the United States and the Constitution of California.
Yes, sir.
So, anyhow, I thank you for your show.
All right, brother. Thank you for your service. Thank you so much for your service.
You're very welcome.
So, yeah, I mean, we look at all these different things that go on around us. And the thing is, the counties, all the counties here, especially in the state of California, well, heck, in Texas, Georgia, you name it, a lot of people are having issues. The one thing we do have in California, which is a good thing, is we have an opportunity by law to recall our public officials when we believe they're not doing the job. By law, we have that. 31 of the 50 states have that. 19 don't even have that. I talked to my friend in Georgia. Jenny Beth said, hey, you know, we don't even have a mechanism to recall our commissioners. That's what they call their supervisors in Georgia. We don't even have a mechanism for that. We do here in California. And as I stated earlier in the program, we've set a record of people that we're recalling. But, you know, to have three public officials you're recalling, rather than just letting the process go through, to fight it, to send out flyers saying that people are money laundering, people are just all these accusations. Well, you know, as my friend Dick Wilkins has said at the Board of Supervisors meeting, we can make all kinds of accusations about them, that they're criminals, they're stealing money, they've exposed themselves. I mean, we can say all kinds of different things, that they watch child pornography. We can say all kinds of things, and we could make a flyer because they made up things. But the deal is, the only person that was found guilty of a crime was Leonard Modi. I'm going to say it again. The only person that was found guilty of a crime was Leonard Modi of misfeasance.
And do you know what we have here in our county? We have 13, I believe it was, if I counted correctly, 13 county elected officials. And so at this point, what we have, I'll just cite them off real quick so everybody understands. We have the assessor recorder, the district attorney, the sheriff, coroner, superintendent of schools at large, the county clerk, auditor controller, the treasurer, who is also the tax collector and public administrator, the board of supervisors, 1 through 5, and then we have superior court judges, 1 through 11. So about 23, I believe, in total. So the board of supervisors can go through and, since they're able to appoint the sheriff, they could also appoint the assessor, the district attorney, the superintendent of school at large, the county clerk, the auditor controller, and the treasurer. So what's going to stop them from going after the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 others that they could do? Plus, then you're looking at the list of judges. We have 9 judges. So you don't think that since they're going to get fired up a little bit doing with the sheriff, I mean, you know, the top law enforcement officer of the county, if they can do him, they can appoint that position, whether it's a him or her, doesn't matter, but that position that should be duly elected by we, the sovereign citizens of our county, what's going to stop them from going after the rest of it?
Yeah, we got to hope.
Just asking for a few hundred thousand friends.
We got to hope they don't do Chief Johnson.
Well, for his sake.
We got it for his sake because, you know.
For his sake and for our sake in total.
He's been a good police chief.
He's a great police chief.
And it just, it's a bummer. And I... You know, they had this pre-planned for him, the raise, everything's been pre-planned for him to entice him over. And, you know, I think that in his heart he believes that he can do a good job.
I think he could. I think he'd do a stellar job. And guess what? He's probably not going to be the yes man that they think he's going to be. He's not that kind of guy.
I agree with you, Wynn.
He's not that kind of guy, so they're going to get what they deserve, I hope.
I hope so.
If the appointment comes through, and that's the way the process
works out. The appointment
did
come through. It's done. It's a done deal. It's just going to get announced.
So he's sworn in.
It's a done deal. He is accepted. It's a done deal. 4-1. It's a done deal. So, I mean, it's already done. The point is that, you know, it isn't anything about Chief Johnson, who has served his community, and that's the whole thing. What John Green's point is, Patrick Jones's point is, and the public's point is we should have an election. Because then all of a sudden, that particular official, nobody's perfect, nobody's that strong, that particular person that we elect is now beholden to the people who elected him, not the people who hired him. And, you know, you can say what you want. I don't think Tomasenko's a bad guy. You can say what you want, but it's going to be pretty tough to fight City Hall when you have everybody, especially those three boards of supervisors, Comente, Rickert, and Modi, who are stellar when it comes to so many activities, hiring a lawyer, going on, starting Shasta Forward to where they could get money for all this. Why are they doing that? It's a legally protected constitutional process everyone's going through, chastising these people, calling them out. I mean, Mary Rickert gets on a program, a left-wing program, and calls out a constituent. What? I mean, this is insane. That's a challenge. And you know, again, it's the kind of thing where we want the people whom we elect to service to actually be duly elected. Again, it has nothing to do with Chief Johnson. Even in John Green's eyes, it has nothing to do with him. He has total respect for the man. I know because I talked to John Green about this. The point is that you want to make sure that we have our say in our constitutionally protected right of being able to vote for these public offices.
Yep.
And I'll tell you right now, that's going to happen. And that'll happen when we get this state figured out. We make the apportionment smaller. Might be Northern Jefferson, Southern Jefferson, state of Madison, state of Franklin. We've got to divide this state up to get apportionment so our voices are heard. Time has come.
For 51.
Let's get it done.
Amen.
We had no say. You don't serve us, you serve L.A. The time has come for 51.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.